Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Poetry with Flavor. I'm your host, Miss Lucy. I am a little out of sorts. I still haven't adjusted to the time change and had not changed the time on my microwave or my oven. So I apologize. So we'll get started. I wanted Women's History Month. The last couple of days I found out about two really extraordinary young women have made the news and have gone what they call viral. One young lady, I think her name, I'm just out of sorts, but Megan Peace, I believe, is her name. And she is 17, I forgot her age. I'm just hang in there with me, folks. I'm kind of off. But anyway, Megan Peace, and she is the first black puppeteer on Sesame Street. And her character is a little black girl named Gabrielle on the show The View this morning, and she was excellent. The other young lady that has gone viral is Julia Miles. She is all over the internet and the television also. She is the first deaf presenter at the Super Bowl. She went viral because of her outstanding signing of the songs of Rihanna. Not just the signing, but the dancing, the emotion. She was really, I watched her video about 7 or 8 times. She is that good. So these are two young ladies that you might want to Google and find out more about them. Both two very talented black young ladies. Julia Miles is not only deaf and American Sign Language interpreter, but she is also a nursing student at Bowie State University in Maryland. So very talented young women. Okay, let me grab. I literally just got in the house, too. So I am just. Okay. So I'm not flipping. We'll start with Sally Rise, which is my tribute to the black woman. When I actually wrote this, I had Michelle Obama in mind, and just the outstanding black women that are keeping us together and keeping this country together. So I'll start with that one and grab my glasses. Rise, Sally, rise. Wipe your weeping eyes. Put your hands on your hip and let your backbone slip. Turn to the east and turn to the west and turn to the one that you love the best. Life giver, builder of a nation, nurturer of a people, preserver of a history, transmitter of a culture, bridge over troubled waters. Black woman says it all. Black woman stands tall. Rise, Sally, rise. Survivor of spirit death and rape and the destruction of her family, victimized by race, class, and gender, her beauty denied and distorted into a midnight black nappy head, liver lips, ham hock hips, and cornbread thighs mammy, whose breasts resemble the mammary glands and udders of a cow. Rise, Sally, rise. Her femininity called into question. Wench, bitch, whore, half man, never called lady, even though the title she wears is queen, auntie, mammy, first names, Sapphire, Jezebel, never called her God-given name. Black woman calls upon her sisters for affirmation and a safe haven where she can be disarmed and not threatened. Sisters provide a place of love, connection, spirituality, and uplift. Rise, Sally, rise. Some would say you are a contradiction, strong in mind and sassy, powerful, protective, disciplined, enterprising, a warrior woman, wrapped in sweet brown sugar, molasses and caramel, nurturing and loving, soft and warm, and in that sweet, easy manner. You rock your child to sleep with rise, Sally, rise, wipe your weeping eyes, ensuring the ties that bind us together, instilling the spirit until day is done. Black woman says it all. Black woman stands tall. Rise, Sally, rise. I'm not even breathing correctly. That was a very good presentation, but we will carry on. Okay. I'm going to do all, oh my goodness, poems about the black woman today. Let's see. Okay. Okay, Slow Tide. This is about a young woman who isn't that confident about how she looks and don't match the magazines. But thank goodness that's come to an end in what's happening today. But this is a young woman who, at the time I wrote this, suffering from poor self-esteem and very self-conscious. And this is what happened. Unaware of her majesty, wrapped in mahogany shine, she traps the beauty of her blackness in a girdle tightly bound. Ringing through her head as she struggled with her ampleness was a little childhood rhyme. Put on your girdle, baby, one, two, three. Put on your girdle, baby, one, two, three. She remembered then wriggling and twisting of her then a little behind. But nature would not be tame now, and so she put the girdle aside. As she stepped out for the day, she walked carefully to keep the roll and rumble to a slow tide. On the street, brothers were standing on all four corners, and as she passed by their sight, pocket pool was played and elbows touched, and someone remarked and all agreed, churn that butter, girl. Her slow tide gave way to a big smile. Okay. Okay. This is the title of this one is No Cry for Me. Why is there no cry of Holocaust for me? Were my boat a train instead? Would there be outrage? Would there be protest? Why is there no cry of Holocaust for me? Was not my dignity stripped naked? My head, like cattle, placed on an auction block? Was master not kin to Mangala, examining my teeth and gums? My body used for pleasure, abused with pain? Why is there no cry of Holocaust for me? Were not my black babies torn from my breast and like rumpled stilt skin straw turned into gold for economic gain? Pickaninnies, you called them, made to be footstools, treated like pets. Were not my daddy's phallus and my brother's balls pickled in southern comfort, put into a jar to grace a mantle trophy high? And my left breast made a conversation piece, tanned and tooled into a tobacco pot to hang at your side? Why is there no cry of Holocaust for me? Were millions of black skins white? Would they build a memorial, a museum, propose and allocate for a national monument? Would they shout never again? Would they say, lest we forget? Why is there no cry of Holocaust for me? Okay. This one, let's see. Our crowning glory. And I've done it over and over again. But I like this little poem. But what I like even more is what I'm seeing daily, how we are, and it's not just a one group, it's every age group of black women embracing our beauty and understanding it is beauty. We are beautiful. And the hairstyles that are coming out are just, I mean, I can't even probably they need to be in the encyclopedia for all the different hairstyles from the
right.
Lock to the twist to the braids to
right.
The, I mean, you mm-hmm. name it. Just gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah.
They are gorgeous. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Help yourself. Say whatever you want.
Oh, I just think I agree with you. They're beautiful. They're beautiful.
Absolutely.
And I need to tell you all, I just got in the house and had not changed clocks or whatever. And yes, I have a cell phone. I don't even know how to find the time. You know, I was totally off and I said, my God, it's 7:00. And so if I feel like I'm out of breath. I feel like I sound like I'm out of breath. But
well,
anyway.
You can't tell it. I mean, you're doing a good job. You sound fine.
Yes, and you made
you
it.
Fine.
You're
yeah, you sound fine.
I'm a nervous wreck. But anyway, okay. Our crown
well,
is
see,
good.
Lucy, Lucy, you read your poetry with such passion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what we hear, your love for your poetry. That's what we hear.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we hear.
Thank you. Well, you know, before I read this one, because I know I do it over and over, but I, for some reason, Reverend Sharpton just came, flashed across my thoughts. And Reverend Al Sharpton, and you got Nat King Cole. You got the Platters way back when. What they singing
right,
in the 40s and
right.
50s. You got and then we had that era of Jerry Curl when
oh yeah
guys named Richard would change their name to Ricardo. So I'm saying all that because sometimes we have gotten negative things said to us from our our men. But they have done the same thing. The latest thing is that I've seen on the TikTok is men in the barbershop getting wigs put on.
I heard somebody say that.
Yeah, well, when I get off of here today, I'm going to send you one of a man who came in bald, and he left out with a head full of locks, and you would not believe it. It looks so real.
I just said
that because in this poem, you know, I'm talking about we women abusing our hair, but men have done the same thing. They've done the same thing. Okay.
Mm.
Oh, and another, James Brown. What about him? You know, but anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody's talking about my daddy like that.
Yeah.
My daddy had a pump. I said,
yes, the pump.
That must have been
my daddy had a process.
That's what it was called.
It was a process. My cousin was a barber there in New Jersey, and he had one, so he gave his cousin one.
I was trying to think of the name of it, but it was called a process.
Process. Some people call it a conk.
I'm gonna have to write this and write the fellows up. I'm gonna have to write one about the fellows. But here's the ladies. Our crowning glory. We've fried it, dyed it, plastered it, added extensions to it, wigged it, sewn and weaved it. We've done everything but freed it. We've waved it, crinkled it, crimped it, crunched it, creamed it. We've straightened it, smoothed it, sparkled it, sprayed it, mashed it, moosed it, glued it, gelled it, greased it, teased it into believing it's what it's not. We've done everything but been pleased with it. Okay.
That's right. What was that hair grease called? Was it Royal Crown?
Yeah.
Royal Crown.
Yeah, I remember Royal Crown. Oh, yeah, Suffer A. Mm-hmm.
Dixie Peach.
So many. Oh, yeah, Dixie Peach. Uh-huh.
Yep.
My mother
and
was.
I know you all know that the black hair business is very close to passing the billion stage in making money.
You know. I heard that it's 100.9.
Go ahead.
A 100.9 during Women History Month, they've been talking about, it was the lady that, Madam J. Walker, that got her started. And they're talking about the billions of dollars that institution is worth now. And the lady said it's so much that they can't, they need two parts to do it. So she said this is just part one today. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I wanted to say about that, it's way making billions and billions of dollars, but the thing about it, the five, I don't know where it's five or ten, but the top sellers of the black hair products are all white.
See,
and when I come back the next time we meet, I'll have that list because I don't have it in front of me now. But I wrote all that down a few days ago. They're all white. Now, we're putting out, I can't even believe how much money we are putting out that we couldn't start our own, you know?
That's right.
We couldn't have our own hair stores. But anyway, we've got so much to catch up on.
Well, we did have them.
We did.
But I guess they sold out. Like there was one in Atlanta, Georgia, Bona, I think that was it. Because I went to seminary with one of their daughters, and they had a hair cream out. But I want to ask another question. Who all remember Archery? Is that Archery? skin tone cream where people put on them and make themselves look white?
Yes.
That's right. I remember that. Sure did.
To lighten their skin. You put to lighten up your skin. Sure did.
And they still doing it.
I even remember the color of the little tube. It was blue and white.
That's right.
And don't leave out the lemon and salt scrub.
Oh, okay.
And that radio station.
On your skin and rub salt on it. Lord, them people must have been really hurting after that. Damaging their skin that way to get light.
Right.
But you know what? Go ahead.
There was a radio station out of Tennessee, Nashville, that broadcasts all over the East Coast. And I even got it in New Jersey. And that was Archer Skin Tone Cream was one of the leading products.
I remember that. Right. You're right. It came out of Tennessee.
Randy. His name was Randy.
That's right.
Randy.
Right.
But those were the times we were living in. The attitudes finally are changing. We're embracing our beauty, our uniqueness, our gorgeousness. We're shining it now. But when you look at that history in the past, the things that we did to try to assimilate, to try to fit in, unbelievable, ridiculous. The thing about it, well, I don't want to start talking white supremacy. We already know what it is, but the impact that it has had on not just us, because Asian people they mutilated themselves with eye surgeries and all that kind of thing, you know, to open their eyes up so they wouldn't be slanted eye and all kinds of craziness. The world is just crazy.
Right.
The world is just crazy. So, let me grab another pen. What are we doing? Let's see. I can't even see. I have no business being on here this evening.
Yes, you do, because it gives me an opportunity to escape reality for a while. I've been in the emergency room ever since morning.
Oh,
my
goodness.
Wow.
Was everything okay?
Well, I guess it is. I'll call you after we're fine. Just time.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay. Great. I can't even talk. Fragrance. Okay. Her favorite fragrance these days is Febreze linen. Says it ensures she won't smell musty, smell stale like an old lady. She goes to Costco's for the bargain buy of 4 sprays for $5. She buys $20 worth, which does put a dent in her budget. But she's desperate to keep everything, her clothes, bedroom, furniture, curtains, just everything smelling clean and fresh, warding off the aroma of decay and death. Okay. That's from my poetry on this aging process I'm still going through. But anyway, once upon a time, like moths to a flame and flies to honey, men circled around her wherever she went. Reason for the attraction? Her too tight and too short dresses that showed all of her private business. the holy shoes she wears, the red ones, 5 inches high, made her calf muscles sit up and her butt stick out and her breast point east and west. Grandma called her a heifer, and Auntie would chime in with hussy. Me, I just excuse myself and go to my room to look in the back of my closet and pull out my old leather miniskirt and my old 1960s favorite pair of leopard print heels, 4 inches high. I just smile and remember once upon a time.
Okay.
I was saying what that made me think of.
Okay.
You go ahead, and then I'll do mine.
Okay, I was getting on my daughters one time growing up about, you know, some of their short dresses and skirts. And then we looked at some earlier pictures of mine. I couldn't say a word. They said, Mama, what's that? I said, nothing. I said, you know how you just have to get quiet? You know, I went through that stage, too. They said, look at yours. So I said, well, yeah.
That's right. Just close your mouth. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Whenever you started out, I thought of Scotty Yuku. Whenever we'd be sitting there and she would come by at lunchtime on Sunday, we'd all be waiting for her to come by.
Mm-hmm.
She had that perfume, that cologne, that perfume on.
Mm-hmm.
We would just sit there and just inhale.
Mesmerized, huh?
That's right. We would have gone back to the continent. All she had to do is say, follow me.
She was a beautiful woman. And she carried herself, it seemed like, in a manner that everyone was interested. You know what I'm saying? Or wanted conversation with her. She was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, I'm flipping pages. Okay. Get that one. I'm getting tired of my poetry.
We're not.
Did I tell you all I found the whole thing of, but I'm never going to read it on the air.
Why not?
Because they're X-rated poetry that I wrote many years ago.
Oh.
I shocked myself. Where in the world did that come from? Well, it came from me, but I ain't sharing that with nobody. Anyway, Lord, remember to ask the Lord to forgive me.
I hope you don't stop.
I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
I hope you're still writing. I hope you didn't stop.
Oh no, I'm writing. It's just weird, the stuff that I'm writing. I don't know what's going on. I have so many, and I don't know how other people do it, but something might pop into my mind for a second. Then I got to go look to find something to write it down on because I forget. And then it just sit for a while, and I learned not to put stuff in special places because I always forget what the special place is. So
that's right.
Believe you me, we're doing the same thing. Lucy, we all are doing the same thing.
You better believe
it's terrible.
Yes, sir.
It is.
We're
terrible.
Doing it too. We're doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this one is called Tomorrow Has Come. Gravity pull, sagging breast, body needs lots of rest. Cotton underwear, plain white, no dare, no one to look anymore, no one to care. Uneven gray and wiry tresses, getting used to longer dresses. Mustache on upper lip, no more perfect fingernail tips. Toothless grin, hair on the chin, I sit for hours, unable to get started, while tomorrow arrived. And this age
is that's true. It happens to all of us. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
And, you know, I just thought of one of those black companies out of Atlanta that's still in business with our hair products. The name of it is Dudley.
Dudley.
I know,
you know,
because
Dudley,
my hairdresser still buys his products.
They used to have a big company there, a big store in Greensboro.
Oh.
Sure did. They most certainly did. Dudley had a big place there in Greensboro.
And I'm sitting here thinking, wow, how integration just pulled us away from everything. We already had everything.
I know it.
Biggest mistake we ever made.
Biggest mistake.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We gave it up.
This is, yeah, we need to get it back. We need to get this man, you all look this man up. I find him very interesting, and a lot of what he says is right on time. Dr. Umar Johnson. Umar,
U-M-A-R.
Yeah.
And, now spell that again.
I think it's U-M-A-R, Umar.
Dr.
Umar
Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he's blowing up on the internet now. I like him. But anyway, he made this comment about modern-day slavery. And he was right on the money, because slavery ain't gone nowhere. It just changed titles and costumes.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how he named some very prominent black athletes as an example who have done wonderful things to connect with the community and to uplift the community and to make economic gains for the community. Now, he named all of them. I can't think I'm not going to name them right now because I get it mixed up. But his point was that today's athlete, he was calling out names and saying that they won't be called the greatest because they haven't done anything for the community. And he said that actually that some of these athletes are actually told that they are not to engage in community stuff. And I believe, look him up when you get a chance. But because I mean, we've got a lot of billionaires now in our community, but we're not progressing. You know, we're
That's
still
right.
not
right.
Connecting with each other. It's still a matter of me, not we.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It
really
makes me mad. But anyway, I got myself upset. Okay. Ode to chair dancing. This is me. I chair dance all the time. Smooth feet and slender ankles, once adorned by a gold ankle bracelet and pointed toes, spiked heels, the cutest, the fanciest of footsteps. But excuse me, Lord, I can't see. That executed the fanciest of footsteps to the latest dance craze, and never tired. Now they move a little slower, spread beyond recognition into crepe sole lace-ups that are easy on the corns and keep each step comfortable and sure. But the body remembers the beat, loves the rhythm, and still moves to the music as shoulders, arms, head, and neck create new steps as she sits in her favorite chair by the radio. I remember laughing at my mother and father when we were teenagers that they would try to dance, and they looked so silly. And you know how you look at your parents like, what are they doing?
Right.
And now your children probably look at you the same way. You can't dance
same
anymore.
Same way. That's
yes,
right. Wonder what are we doing? Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks. You know, I've read this before. Well, I've read all of them before, but I read this one about the Hudson dinner nappers, and it was important for me to write down the Hudson dinner nappers. That was the label, that was the brand of these large square napkins that felt almost silky to the touch, you know, like you had, way back when we used to have napkins, we had to wash them, starch them, iron them. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I sure do.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, then along came the modern day Hudson dinner napkins, which was in the 40s and 50s. Anyway, I mentioned that name because, I'm trying to talk about how we were raised back then. That our mother and I had three sisters. My mother never shared anything about the female body. Even though I had sisters older than me, sisters younger than me, with all girls, but yet never knew any of this was going to happen, you know, happen
mm-hmm.
to my body. So anyway, Mama sent me to the store, go around the corner store to Mr. Freeman's corner store, and get some sanitary napkins. Well, in my mind, sanitary meant white. Thus, the Hudson dinner napkins. Okay, so here's the problem. Chillens, ain't no such thing anymore. These tongues is wicked, filled with cuss words. Games they be playing is grown folks stuff. They be making bread in the oven before they know how to turn the oven on or off. By the time they reach the age of 9, they knows all the devil's doing. When I was 14, my mama sent me to get some sanitary napkins at old Mr. Freeman's corner store. I was careful about counting her change and brought back the big pack of Hudson's white dinner napkins in the double plastic wrap. Do you get it?
Yes. You know, Lucy, I told my friend how you said your grandmother used to say sometimes, you know, when ministers didn't seem this way and that, said you said your grandmother would say, "He ain't called." My friend fell out laughing. And that's true. She knew what she was talking about.
Yeah.
Said, "He ain't called." Right.
That's right. She said, "It ain't
right.
But two kinds. Either you were called by the Spirit."
That's
or
right.
"You called yourself." You
that's
know.
Right.
So,
I told my friend you said that. And she said your grandmother was right. Right, you know,
right.
A lot of them ain't called.
That's right. They call themselves for the for
That's
all the
right.
little perks that come with the job, you know, going to dinner, gifts, and all that kind of stuff. Oh,
right,
Lord,
right.
You know the devil's in the mix.
Okay.
Can somebody tell me what time it is?
7:45.
Okay.
7:46. Okay. 7:46.
Okay. Do you know little Mo is outside?
Oh, he's still out there?
Yes, he's outside. I got in here late, and she liked that little tent, but, I mean, she got, like, 8 blankets. She got on a sweater and her coat.
Now, tonight is getting down to 30, and tomorrow night is getting down to 26.
Oh, she doesn't stay out there overnight. No, indeed. When I get off of here, that's the first thing I'm going to do is bring her in the house. But what I'm saying is...
Okay.
She's not way out in the yard. She's right next to the sliding glass door in her little igloo. That's what it looks like. And she got a ton of blankets in there and stuff. And if she were cold, she would bark. She would tell me.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let me see. Okay. Then she's going up church. So just Miss Della. This is a lead singer. This is a church poem. Well, I call them church poem. Let me see. Miss Della Beulah Roberts was the lead singer of the Bible Way Church of Reformed Sinners. The congregation could hardly contain themselves on Sunday morning when it came time for Miss Della to sing. Did I say sing? A correction is needed here, because Miss Della didn't just sing, she sang. When she opened her mouth, a chorus of angels came out of her throat. Her praise song had the church on their feet, holies dancing, clapping, and prancing in the aisle. Soon to follow were shouts of hallelujah, sweet Jesus, and amen, reaching a feverish pitch. So passionate was her singing, it left the congregation spent and come with the Holy Spirit. Some were on the floor, some speaking in tongues, and some shed tears of joy. It's amazing how the Lord can change you, give you strength and encouragement to walk the right path at your own pace. Because last night, Miss Della was the headliner at the Roundaway Lounge, throwing back shots and belting out songs like Betsy Smith at the Savoy. Amen. Okay. You know what I know? Every time I do my church, people get mad. I think people get mad about it. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the people, and we people are flawed.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
what's that man's name that wanted that $65 million airplane? Creflo. Creflo.
Yeah, Creflo
Dollar. But he got convicted in his spirit, you know? He got convicted, and I don't know whether he turned around, but I heard him that particular day or evening, whatever it was, when he was denouncing how he had presented the word. Did any of you all catch that on the TV?
No, I didn't hear it.
Dollar. I remember him.
It's only been about maybe a month ago that I caught that on the television that he was denouncing all of that materialism, materialistic crap.
Oh, I didn't see that on the TV.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. her hands. Her hands held babies, wiped away tears, raised six children and soothed childhood fears, cleaned up big and little messes, combed and braided knotted heads, ironed pretty ruffled dresses, washed and changed all the beds. Her hands loved and hugged and sewed and hemmed and mended, cooked and kneaded and baked and worked from sun up till dark, and the day had ended with her body weary and her knees no longer bended. Clean white folks' houses, hand starched mister's shirt, hung up Mrs. blouses and pressed all of her skirts. Cleaned the church on Saturday morning and Sunday held the hymnal with love. Her hands should have worn diamonds instead of rubber gloves. Her hands dusted, swept, and waxed. So petite, she was frail and taxed. All of her life, the church, family, and friends she served. Now her hands are still. Lord, please give her what she deserves. I wrote that about my grandmother.
Oh, that makes me think of my mother. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
That generation was something, wasn't it? That generation of women, I tell you. Yeah.
And see, I always think how my mother cleaned the white person's house, and she would come home at night, start from scratch, because anything that was left over from the night before, we ate that when we got off the school bus. But I never...
Right.
Saw her walking around complaining, acting like she was tired. Never.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She had to be tired.
You know she was.
Right. She braided out her hair at night. We had to sleep in stocking cap so it would be neat the next morning. She put a little bow on everybody's head. We went off to school. Proud, dressed nice, always nice and clean.
Yep. We is awesome
amazing.
People. We're awesome, y'all.
And I will never forget this about my father. There were four girls and one boy. Every morning when we got up, he would have polished our shoes and had them lined up behind the heater.
Oh my God, that sounds like my house too, Ann.
Oh, and
we had to leave our shoes outside the door.
Yeah, but Daddy would have our shoes polished and clean and ready. And
right.
Sometimes I just want to cry when I think about this.
Guess what? I have my father's shoebox.
Oh,
he
you
made
do?
It himself. I have. I'll show it to you next time you come. That thing is over 100 years old.
Oh, wow.
And it's over 100 years old. I'm telling you, the wood, the box, the stuff that he made when he was a little boy. And he used to go across, I can't think of the name of the street, to Drew Hill Park, Utah place, where the rich white folk lived in Baltimore and used to shine shoes. Yep, and I got his shoe shine kit right here.
Oh my, isn't that wonderful?
That is one.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
And okay, let me see. My hands. I'm moving as fast as I can. I'm so. Here's another point that I noticed. Nobody kind of, I don't think anybody really understands what I was trying to say. It's very short. I'm going to do it. It's called Blood Ties and Guilt Trips. And I'm just going to say what it's about. It's about a mother's connection to her son, who is a man. His connection with his mom is so strong that it interferes with him being a man to another woman.
Okay.
Mm. Anybody understand that?
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Keep it moving.
Blood ties and guilt trips. She camouflaged her cunning ways, disguised in crisp cotton ruffles, keeping them hidden in her starched white pockets, filled with large measures of Lord willing and woe is me. As expertly as she kneaded, pulled and twisted dough into perfectly knotted bread, she wrapped him up in guilt trips of blood ties, like the necktie he wore, made out of her apron strings.
Oh, I see.
Anybody
it.
Get it?
Yeah,
I got
it.
I got it. That's deep, as the kids say. That, I got it. Yep.
Yeah,
and I think I would have gotten it even if you had not explained it to us.
Exactly.
Because I can see it. Yeah. I can see
yeah.
it.
Okay. Boy. Anyway, do I have time for anything else?
You only got 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. I can't think of these people's names. So these two young ladies, please look them up. It'll just lift your spirits to see these very young women who are on the move upward. And Megan Peace, I believe is her name, who is the young lady, first black puppeteer on Sesame Street, and her character is called Gabrielle.
And
okay. And then the other young lady is Julia Miles, and I believe she's 20 years old, and she is a student at Bowie State University. And she's in the School of Nursing. She is an American Sign Language interpreter. She interpreted for Rihanna's Super Bowl presentation, and she's been on several TV shows since the Super Bowl. That her presentation was awesome, and they also had people who were deaf who were commenting on her, how thrilled they were to have seen her performance and how it helped them to enjoy the music and stuff. I said, you just don't know. Her presentation is awesome. So go on the internet, Julia Miles, look her up and look at the video and watch her do an interpretation. Now, she's deaf too. But if you watch that video, you would never, pardon?
Oh, I said she is?
Yeah, she's deaf too.
Oh, okay.
But
and the other one is Megan Peace.
Say that one more time, Ann.
The other one is Megan Peace.
Yeah, I think it's Peace, P-E-A-C-E.
Yeah,
Sesame Street.
I put that down.
The first black puppeteer on Sesame Street.
Okay.
Two young ladies. Yeah. Well, I thank you all for tuning in. I really appreciate it, and I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop lying about that I'm going to get it together. I'm not going to get it together. It's just what it is.
You're doing a lovely, lovely job. We love it. We love it.
For your presentations.
We love it.
I thank you so much, you guys. Okay, be well.
We thank you, too. Okay, we thank you too, and you have a good night.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.